You might like to open your Bible to 1 Timothy, if I can, 1 Timothy and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you and thank you again. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise, we share together as we went back to the Gospel of John in the upper room, and the 11 disciples are there, and they are in deep sorrow, grief, because all they see is the Lord going out to die. They're going to take him prisoner and kill him. And all they see, their whole world disappears. They've been doing it for 3 1/3 years. And their whole world's going to disappear. And they're either going to go to prison or they're going to go and die. But whatever it is, it's all over. And they're in deep grief, sorrow. Chapter 13, chapter 16. And we shared that together in John chapter 16. Now, keeping that in mind, the deep sorrow, and the Lord is going to address how to handle that in chapter 16. Now, adding to that, we had the Independence Day. And we, second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Among these truths are at least, at the minimum, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, so that was back then. They were about to go, they were in war, they were about to go officially in war. They've been in war for a year. They're going to war. Here we are, we just did Independence Day, and the independence of the country as we known it and celebrated it has basically vanished for the most part, or too much. And so we're looking at what? We're looking at a national crisis. Without any question, a global crisis. So here's the disciples sorrowing, grief in grief. And here we are looking, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And therefore it seems appropriate and helpful to look at the pursuit of happiness. What on earth does it mean to pursue happiness? What would it have meant to them? Remember, they're using the Bible. The Bible's where the Declaration is coming from. Ultimately, the Constitution. So, in the light of that, therefore, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, you're going to be mindful of the fact, Paul, read verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, God, our Savior, verse 1, Christ, our hope, our expectation. Sliding down in the light of all the context over to verse 11. According to the glorious gospel, the good news of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So Paul, what were you a custodian of? What were you to be enjoying? The good news of the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? The word gospel is the word happy. Happy. There's different words for blessed. This is the word blessed, happy, happy. H-A-P-P-Y. Happy. Now, where's that going to go? God, You are one happy God. You enjoy happiness, the sensations that come from good, for knowing good, feeling good, having good, good, good. God, who's good? God's good. God enjoys being God. How's that? God enjoys, it's happy. What's the word? Happy, happy. Oh, the pursuit of happiness. That's what they got. The pursuit of happiness. Well, what do they know? What does God's word say? God is happy. And one other place, while you're right here in Timothy, over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, may pick up again, context, verse 14, that thou keep 6 and 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show. Who is he? Who is the blessed, happy, and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords? He's the happy and only sovereign God. Wonderfully happy God is. There's joy, that's true, but this is the word happy, happy. I'm interested to see how that goes. Pursuing happiness. Pursue happiness. Over, if you would please, to pick it up, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 33. Deuteronomy and chapter 33. Now we're looking at the Hebrew word, but here's the Greek translation using that word, blessed, happy. And the Hebrew word crosses over into the Greek word, the languages. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and you'll notice when you come to the end in God's wonderful, wonderful movement for them by way of Moses, verse 29, happy art thou, there's the word. You guys, Israel, you're going to cross the Jordan. You ought to be one happy people. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? No one. It's God's chosen nation. O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. God, you're the shield. You're the sword. Who is the sword of thy excellency, majesty? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Happy. So as you come to the end, they're going to cross the Jordan, and they ought to be wonderfully excited. They're going from 40 years in the wilderness across the Jordan. They ought to be one happy people. That's what they ought to be. It'd be like going, you know these things, half the anything. If you were going to go and have a trip to the island of somewhere, and it was everything, it was all free, the government's paying for it, everything's free, and you're going to go, and wow, a free jet, the government's going to give you a jet ride, free. I mean, I wouldn't mess around with mask in the plane, forget that. So here we are going, and you know what? You know what? It's exciting, isn't it exciting? We're eating our normal things, going to work, school. But you know, on Monday, we're going to this beautiful island in somewhere, free, having everything. Do you know the excitement about that? Why? Because you're feeling what? You feel good, don't you? You got the same old refrigerator, same old everything, but you feel good. You haven't even gone. Half the trip is the excitement of just going there, you see. Excitement. God God, they're going to cross the Jordan. It should be a wonderful movement forwards. Hang on. So, having said that, sliding along, if I can, over to, Psalm 32. And we'll pick it up again. And in Psalm 32, here's the psalm, you're familiar with it. And David is enjoying being forgiven. And in the process, Psalm 32, he pens in God's kindness and helpfulness, movement, blessed, verse 1, 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, deceit. The word blessed, happy, happy. Actually, the root Hebrew word is to do something straight. Remember we share that. It means to go straight as opposed to crooked. Stay straight. Hit the arrow traveling through the air, straight on to the target. Straight, forward, to prosper, to succeed, happy. Happy. Happy is the man that is forgiven, to really be forgiven. And that's when he gets saved, that ought to be right up front. So, here we are looking, and David is telling about the happiness that he's been forgiven. And sliding down as I can, as you know, verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Now, David, you're forgiven. And what do you know? Did you ask God for forgiveness? No. No. You don't ask God for forgiveness. When he died on the cross, he did forgive you. That's the only reason you can hear the gospel and get saved. It's already done. David doesn't say, please forgive me. He knows it's already forgiven. What do we know in the New Testament? Christ has taken the sins on the cross, and Ephesians and Colossians, we have been forgiven all sin. And there's not one word, thought, or deed that has not been forgiven from the day you're born to the day you die. Otherwise, you aren't going to go to heaven when you receive him. He covered totally, wonderfully. So David, you're all excited. You're all excited about being forgiven. You're happy. It's a happy time, a wonderful time. And so, David, and by the way, while we're here, since it's there, at least pick up in verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee, for in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. In other words, everyone else, David's happy, and he wants everyone else to be happy. Verse 7. Thou, God, art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass surround me like a wall, like a fortress. Thou shalt compass me, surround me about with songs of deliverance. So God, my journey is going to be a happy one. I've been forgiven. I'm going to get up off the ground and run again. I'm going to run down the corridor of the time. And as I go down, God, you surround me with your saving grace, which you read in 1 Timothy 1. God, the Savior. God saves us. David, what do you know? God saves us. He keeps saving us. That's why it's such a expectant, happy time. Christ our hope. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, and if you would, now, having said that again, over to Matthew. And you read in Matthew chapter 5. And here we have the Sermon on the Mount, etc., etc. Now, how does the Lord start off? Remember now, he's preaching, John, Matthew 3, and that without doing it. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right in front of him. The King, the Lord Jesus, John was saying it. John's put aside. The Lord Jesus picks up the same message. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right in front of you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, and he's the one, the kingdom. He's the one. Now, what are they doing? They aren't doing very good with him, but he's going to tell them. He's the King. Here's the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven like? Chapter 5. And, sliding down, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, what was he teaching them? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now you're going to go through 9 blessings. That's the word happiness that you just read. Happiness. I'll read it. I'm not going to read it. Watch. Verse 3. Happy are the poor. Happy, verse 4, are they that call. Happy are the meek. Happy are they which. Happy are they are the merciful. Happy are the pure. Happy are the peaceful. Happy are they which are persecuted. Blessed, happy are they. Men revile you. Happy, happy, happy. What are you trying to tell them? Happiness. God's a happy God, and he expects happiness. What do you mean? The enjoyment of good. The enjoyment of good. G-O-O-D, good. Where is good from? God. The enjoyment of God. What do you want for the people? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You ought to understand, I'm looking to what? To bring you into the enjoyment of good, happiness. It isn't very happy for you guys now. There's Herod, there's Pontius Pilate. It isn't a good time. It's going to be a bad time, a bad, bad time again. But happiness is what I want you to have, happiness. So when we read the rest of chapters 5, 6, 7, the Beatitudes, go over to chapter 6. And picking up in verse 10, just getting the thought, just picking up, where are you going to take me, God, if I go? In other words, if we're going to go and receive him as king, this is what it's going to be like if I'm king. So you want to know, chapters 5, 6, and 7, this is what it's going to be like. You're going to turn the other cheek, going to do all things different, because what's it when I'm king? In the millennium, we have to dive into that, which they aren't ready for, but they needed to understand God was a God who would bring happiness to them, prosperity, success, straightness. So, chapter 6, verse 10, thy kingdom in the disciples' prayer. Thy kingdom isn't the Lord's prayer, because he didn't pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you're looking for things in heaven to be down here. So everything down here is moved aside to be replaced by everything that's in heaven. So heaven isn't going to become like this. This is going to become like heaven. Whole other world. As we've shared. Now, over, if I can, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for that special aisle somewhere. I'm looking for what? Where are you looking? What are you looking for? I'm looking for maybe Herod will be nicer and Pilate won't yell at us. I know. No. No, that's not going to bring anything. That's sorrow. Sorrow. You have to understand, God has brought the good news to override all the bad news, which is to be happy, to be able to have happiness, prosperity, success, straight down the line, not crooked, a little bit up and a little bit down, here, there, nope, straight down the line, happiness. Now, having said that, over to chapter 7 just to do that. No, just do chapter 6. And you'll pick it up again. What is the happiness? The world, verse 31. Wherefore, take no thought. Don't be all anxious and divided of mind, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? We're all worried about the general necessities of life, survival, success. And we're looking to have everything make our livelihood work. That's what we're doing. That's where our life is. Where's our life? In our livelihood. If we eat socially, drink, and family, that's our life. It isn't with you, God. It's here. That's what communism, socialism, all of it. Marxism, all of it. Humanism, where is it? It's here. You don't need God for any of those. God's missing. Everything's this way. And so therefore, that's why we hang on so tight and why we push, because this is it. But it isn't it. When does that happen? When you get saved, you realize this isn't it. It isn't about here, it's about there. And the whole world is seen differently, should be. Now, in chapter 6, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. And therefore, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, just like we read in Matthew chapter 5, kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've got to put God, heaven, and happiness. God, you want us to be happy. You wanted them to be happy. You wanted them to understand. Therefore, over if you would please. Oh, to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, making it easier. And may I pick up, please, John the Baptist is in prison. John the Baptist is not going to make it out of prison. He's going to lose his head. And in the process, he's sort of confused about what our Lord is doing, healing and everything, and encouraging the people. And the blind, verse 5, the blind, chapter 11, verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, the good news preached unto them. And that's a wonderful. Now, John, how does the Lord answer it, as you know? Verse 6, how does he answer John? Tell John these wonderful things, verse 5, that the Lord was doing. And tell John, blessed, happy is your little word, happy, blessed. Happy is he whosoever shall not be offended, to stumble over, to be tricked, trapped in a snare in me. How I do things, don't be stumbling over it. John says you should be doing this, getting after them. Herod's awful. No, I'm going to do, God said, what I do in my time. And you, not your time. With me, there is no time. That's why we read all those wonderful things. It's at hand. Being taken to heaven is at hand. There is no time to it. It's just in God's movement. Time is here for us. So therefore in the process, here we are looking in chapter 11, don't be offended. Don't be offended. And that's what we'll pick up tonight in the happenings. We got happiness, and you're going to need happiness for the happenings. How are you going to handle the happenings? without happiness. Wow. Now, so don't be offended. Don't be offended. What God does, how he does it. How could God let that happen? No problem. Why did God let that happen? No problem. God has his rhyme and reason for everything. 1,000,000,000,000 pieces set together. We don't even have one of them. Now, so in Matthew chapter 11, blessed, happy are is the person who's letting God be God. How's that? Happy is the person that lets God be God. We aren't God. We're created by God. God is God. Then let him be God. And don't tell him how to do things or when he has to do it or how he has to do it. You trust him. What did he tell you? What's the one thing he wants? Believe him. Believe, 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 believe. That's all I want you to do, he said. But, no, believe. I want to talk about it. Believe. Just believe. And God will do. Now, therefore, in Matthew chapter 11, sliding over if I can, in the light of that, if over in picking up, please, chapter 13. And again, chapter 13, picking up in verse 16. Remember the parables? Why are the parables written? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. So that's why he gave the parables. And then, but Peter, James, and John and them are there, and they're listening. And you'll notice, please, sliding down, he encourages them before he even explains anything. Verse 16, but blessed, happy, 13:16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. They're looking at the Lord, listening to the Lord. They see him and hear him. And you want to be blessed that you have that. Would you please notice what's missing? Understanding. Later it's going to be understanding. But they don't understand yet. They only see and hear. You may only hear and may not understand. But God said, blessed are you for to hear. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore, they're blessed. Chapter 16, they're hearing and seeing. And it's a wonderful, they ought to be happy. Chapter 16. And remember, the disciples, and he asked them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 16:13, sliding down, 16:15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed, happy art thou, Simon Peter bar Jonah. Happy are you. God gave you that. You want to be wonderfully happy. You don't even understand what you just said. Thou art the Son of God. You don't even know what you just said, Peter. But you want to be one happy rascal because he said it and gave it to you to say. You ought to be happy. He gave you the words. He gave you the truth. Wow. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. You didn't do it, but my Father which is in heaven. Wow. Wow. God did it for you. God did it. You ought to be happy. Happy that you can hear. Happy that you can be near him. God's a happy God. I share that for you 1,000 times. We have prayer and all those different things. And God's delighted in doing what he's doing and being who he is. And we're down here crying and moaning and groaning. Not you guys, but people do. They do as if there was no God. God's delighted to be who he is. Wants to be who he is. Is who he is. He's good. He's happy. He's happy. He loves good. He's good. Not bad. He's good. We'll pick that up tonight. Now, over if I can, in the light of that, over to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, watch the sequence, and you'll catch it if I can. Chapter 4, picking up in verse 5. This is on wonderful forgiveness and God's righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted, computed, reckoned for righteousness. In other words, the sinner is able to go and say, Jesus Christ took my sin, and I believe it. And therefore, my sin is on him. His righteousness is on me. Reckoned. I've transferred my sin. He took it, and I believe it. His faith, that's what God asked you to do. Did I take your sin and take care of it and forgive it, like Psalm 32? Yes. You believe. Then that, I count that as righteousness. How? You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your sin and gave you, made it possible for you to have a righteousness. Now, chapter 4, verse 5, 6. Even as David, remember we had Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Even as David also describeth the blessedness, happiness, of the man, all the time, same word, blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, not by works, you just by faith, saying, blessed are they, happy are they, who's in, we just read that, Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are they, happy are they, whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Verse 29, cometh unto this blessedness, happiness, then upon this, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also, Jew and Gentile. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. That's right. Happy. You want to be one happy rascal. I took your sin, and I gave you. When you gave me your sin, I gave you my righteousness. I mean, that's a pretty good swap. A wonderful swap. Over if I can. Chapter 4, Abraham. Verse 19. Faith. Being what weak in faith, 4 and 19, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God being fully persuaded, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Uh-huh. Abraham did that. That's what he said. It's a wonderful thing God did. It's a good, happy. It's a happy time. It's not a sad time. Not a time to be sorrowing and grieving. If I don't go to the cross, you'll have no happiness ever. If I don't die, you have no happiness. You have no hope if I don't die and take your sin. You have none whatsoever. Oh, I don't care. I know this and I'm doing that. No, you don't. Over if you can, please. In the light of that, over to James chapter 1. So all we're doing is walking and looking from a helicopter at the wonderful word happiness. God, what is happiness? And happiness, it's all about God doing what he does. So here, over in James, and in James chapter 1, picking up, please, as you know, the word. Verse 25, for context. But whoso looketh into looking down intently, looking down as if you were trying to thread a needle with no hole in it. How's that? And you're going down, and you're busy trying to find some way to get it through. You really concentrate. That's the word. Looking, like down at your Bible, looking down. But whoso looketh into the perfect, complete law of liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and continueth therein, keeps looking, he being not a forgetful hearer, because he keeps looking, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed, happy in his work, his deed, his action. He's looking to God. He's looking for God. We're going to cross the Jordan. That's right. We're going to do this. We're looking to God, and we're looking and looking to the words. God, you're able to do exceeding abundant above all I ask or think. And I'm looking at the words. And it's going to do what? It's going to make my attitude and mood of what? A happy one. Happy. Wow. Blessed in his deed. Over to chapter 1. Remember the trying of our faith? Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Happy is the man, a woman, boy, or girl, that has to go through approving and testing. And we shared all these things of late. You got to grow up, not just grow. You got to grow up with understanding. You got to grow up and develop. If you don't grow up and develop, then you're just growing. You're just living another year, that's all. So, if I can, and picking up, please. In verse 8:12, blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, put to the test, proof, like metal in a furnace, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath pronounced, promised to them that love him. A blessed, happy. What's happy? Well, you're going through trial and test. Uh-huh. And you ought to be happy you're going through it, because you can go through it. You don't have to fail. You don't have to flunk. And you don't have to be cast aside. You're going to go a straight line, right through the swamp, right through the Everglades, right through the muck and the mire. You're going to go right through it. That's what you're going to do. And you put your foot, what? In another hunk of mud. And then what are you going to do? 10 feet later, you're still in the mud. 20 feet later, you're still in the mud. But you're moving through the mud. The mud isn't going away. The world isn't stopping. It's on a course, like a great Titanic heading to a cosmic iceberg. That's where it's going. Wow. Now, in the light of that, in the light of James, over, if you can, 1 Peter. And all we're doing is trying to get a handle on pursuit, the pursuit of happiness. And boy, happiness. God, you tell it to us in all kinds of ways. I expect you to understand, I love to do and be happy. I am happy about doing good and being good. And I want you to enjoy good. That's what I want you to do. I want you to enjoy good. What life? What have we come over here, poor pilgrims? What are you going to die for? Men signing the declaration, whatever. For good. What are we here for? To be slaves and taxed and everything go wrong? No. We're here to discover happiness. Good. Therefore, 1 Peter, I said it. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, may I pick up, please, verse 14. But, 3 and 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, remember, if you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives your sin, and he counts it to you for righteousness. Where did I get the righteousness? I believed in the Lord. I gave him my faith, and he took my sin. I agree. He gave me his righteousness. Therefore, verse 14, and if you suffer for righteousness because you're saved, sake, happy. There's the little word blessed, only this time it's translated happy, which is fine. Happy, blessed. Blessed are you, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. What are we going to do? Sanctify, set apart the Lord God, where? In your heart. And be ready always to give a reason, an answer, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope, Christ our hope, the hope that is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. With meekness and fear, that's what you're going to do. I want to, blessed is the man that has to go through it. I'm just going to go and look to God, verse 15, look to God, and God's going to give us the reason. We're going to keep on going straight through the muck and the mire, right down the corridor of time. It isn't going to disappear. It doesn't matter. It's there tomorrow. It's the day after. And just think of your aging and all of those wonderful words. You aren't getting younger. Isn't that good? Why? Because you're going to die. And if you stay young, you'll never die. So God has to finish off your life so that you can be with him. God doesn't want you to hang around too long. Do you understand? God doesn't want you to hang around longer than he wants. So just be of good cheer. That's what to do. And sanctify the Lord in your heart. Who's happy? God's happy in you. God's happy in front of you. We're in his presence. God's happy. God's happy inside. I need to be happy. No. I need to be happy. He's happy. I should be happy. But no, he isn't bothered with anything. Therefore, if I can, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verse 14. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. First part, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy, blessed, happy are you. They treat you wrong. Well, they treat him wrong. If they can treat you right and absorb you into their world with no qualms, something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong. You should be different enough. Different enough. I'm not like them. I don't use their language. I don't use their words. I don't speak like them. I don't live like them. I don't think like them. It should be clear enough. You can't be around them long enough, you know, that you just don't do that. You're different. That's right. We're different. Wow. Well, it'd be different. Wow. So therefore, happy are you if you're reproached. Now, putting that together, if I can, Revelation and chapter 1. In Revelation and chapter 1, you will please note directly in the light of the wonderful context, verse 3, our first word, blessed, happy, happy is he that readeth. Remember we said to see, to hear, and understand the disciples. Blessed is he, happy is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. It's at hand. There is no time to God. It's just now. There is no clock. It's God's going to do it when he does it. That's what he's going to do. So we don't get hung up on time. Time and what's happening in the world is awesome. Awesome in the world. No question about it. Never in my little history, minimum, in my little history, I've never seen this. And I've been following for a little while, watching history, living it, actually. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. Over, if you would, chapter 22. And you'll notice how it closes in the new heaven, new earth. And God, what are we supposed to be? Because we haven't got to the new heaven and new earth. I want you to be what? I want you to be, chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. at hand, coming quickly. Blessed, happy is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. A happy person. You say, well, Revelation's awesome. Who understands it? No one understands, and no one can understand it. It can't be, and, you know. Happy are you if you understand it. If you just read it, happy are you. Happy to know God's going to do something. That's right. He's sliding down to verse 14. Blessed, there's your word. Happy are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Happy, 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 happy. And what makes it so happy? Verse 20, he which testifieth these things, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, revelation of our Lord, he which saying that these things saying, surely I come, present tense, I am coming, what? Quickly. Quickly. There's no clock. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming. I'll be right on time. I won't be 1 second late. You can count on it. I have to wait till everything's at the right spot. And only God can do that. Even so, the end of verse 20, so come, Lord Jesus. Wow. Now, closing to put it together. Titus, which you know, chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2. And thus, Titus 2, picking up, please, verse 13. Looking for, what are we looking for? Looking for that blessed, happy, there's your word happy, hope. It's a happy hope. You're looking for it. That's right. Remember the trip? We've got to take the trip. Just the excitement. You haven't even, that's half the battle. That's half the enjoyment. We're looking. Blessed. It's a happy hope. At what? Any moment. Quickly. At hand. At any moment. I'm coming. Well, I'll be happy. Happy. You're not crossing the Jordan. You're going to cross into heaven. You ought to be one happy camper. That's what you ought to be. Wow. So God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happiness. Life. Declaration. Second paragraph. We behold these truths. Self-evident, obviously. So clear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Got it? If you think happiness, well, I won the lottery. Now that's no good because the tax are going to tax you to death and then everyone's going to hunt you down to rob you. So, you know, what can I tell you? So be glad, be a pauper, be a happy pauper. Is that right? It won't matter what you got. Where your treasure is what? There is your heart. And no one's touching the treasure. That's your blessed hope. Happy, happy camper. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for caring. And God, help us in every way. As we seek to come to grips better and better, more and more, with a healthy and happy and holy understanding of what it means just to know you. Just to have truth, and the truth will set us free. Thank you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict them that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and have great hope. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.